This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
SourceTrunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 22, recorded on the 5th of June 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. I'll be drinking a Ramé Triple Blonde with this episode. Yes, you heard correctly. Another triple. I can't help myself. This one is blonde. It has apparently an intense taste with a big head of foam. I haven't tried it, actually, so I don't know if that is correct. I'm going to pour it really slow. Oh! Now, I hope you don't, you can't hear it in the podcast, but I had to pause here for 1 minute because I was pouring it too fast and it completely filled up with foam and I had to do it all over again with another glass. So, okay, now here it is. I'm going to try it. And it's a very little bit bitter triple. Not too hard. It's good and soft, and it has 8% of alcohol. Now, every beer in Belgium has its own beer glass with its own logo on it. And my aunt Ludwina and uncle Leven gave me 4 crates of glasses they don't use anymore. 4 complete crates. I think I've got about 100 new glasses now. So I immediately searched for the best glass for this beer, and I failed miserably because this glass gave me a lot of foam. But, well, hey, I'll keep on trying. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
Firefly Media Server. Now, first of all, I heard about the Firefly Media Server on the Linux Reality podcast. It was on episode 62, which handled home servers and especially music servers. And if you don't know Linux Reality, then you really should hop on over to linuxreality.com. It's hosted by Chess Griffin, and it's aimed at the beginning Linux users. But I find that even the most hardened Linux users, the most dedicated programmers, can take advantage of this podcast, because he really goes into all the little details and all the nice stuff that Linux can offer you. So check it out. Now, this project used to be mt-daapd. I'll give you the description from the website. The purpose of the project is to build the best server software to serve digital music to the Roku Soundbridge and iTunes, to be able to serve the widest variety of digital music content over the widest range of devices. Now, that's quite a statement, and I'll explain it a bit more. The open source project MT-DAAPD has completely been adopted by Roku Labs. And Roku Labs is a company which makes hardware network music players and internet radio appliances. Well, they use 2 protocols. The RSP protocol, which is the Roku server protocol. That is a proprietary protocol which has been developed by Roku Labs to stream audio. And then you have the, to share audio, then you have the DAAP protocol, that is the Digital Audio Access Protocol. And that protocol was introduced in iTunes version 4.0. Also a proprietary protocol, but completely been reverse engineered by all the open source coders. Now, recently Apple has begun to license the protocol specifications, so it's easier to code for the DAAP protocol. Now, the Firefly Media Server, how does it work? Years ago, we tried to make our own BSD iTunes sharing server. And we tried to install it, and it was a pain to do. We tried to use a BSD machine. You needed WebDAV. You needed to export your complete library. And then you had to do all sorts of tricks with the WebDAV configuration. And it failed every time we tried to do so. This one is very easy to install. On Debian, for example, you just do apt-get install mt-daabd. You adapt the mt-daabd.conf configuration file. In there, you point to your music directory, you set up a web password and a playlist password, you restart the server, and then you just have to hop on over to an iTunes, et voilà! You immediately see your own music library in that little iTunes sharing thingy. And it only takes 5 minutes work to launch your own Debian iTunes-capable media server. So, practical use, how can you use it? My setup at home at the moment was a black little PowerBook where I had installed iTunes on, and I had a SMB Samba mount all the music on my Debian server. Now that was very slow, the PowerBook was not too fast. I had no updates when I was putting new music on my Debian server. It wouldn't update because it was a static library. I had to drag and drop all the new music to that library. With mt-daabd, everything is shared and immediately updated by the Firefly media server. Another example is I use a Debian desktop, and there I use Amarok via an NTFS drive to share my Debian server music files. And sometimes that was slow to update as well. So now I just listen to it via Riffenbox, which is DAAP capable. And Riffenbox completely shows me my Firefly media server shared music. To configure the Firefly media server, you can use a web configuration. So you can point to your own little Firefly media server via the HTTP protocol and a port number, and then you can do stuff like stop your server, you can do a full rescan if necessary, you can even make your own smart playlists so that those playlists will shine through in your iTunes or Riffenbox. I haven't tested with Riffenbox, so I don't know if that works, but I think it does. In that web configuration, you can change stuff like your passwords, if it has to compress the data, if you want to share it on a very slow network, where your database directory is, how it should scan, aggressive, not aggressive, stuff like that, all via the nice interface of a web client. Other features, well, it doesn't only run on Unix platforms, it also works on Windows, and it has support for macOS X as well. Windows and macOS X are not supported yet in the stable version, but they are in the nightly builds. There is support for on-the-fly transcoding of AUG, FLAC, Apple Lossless and WMA. Also in the beta versions for the WMA. Like I said, web-based configuration, you can make your own smart playlists, you have the possibility of streaming radio stations, it is extremely fast, and it is under an active development because it's also sponsored by a company that has interest in keeping the project alive. They have a nice wiki, they have a nice forum, so that is all covered. Some negative aspects, well, I had some minor glitches with the smart playlists, but that can be my own fault as well. I tried it on my OS X as well, just to see how it works, and you get a little preference pane in your OS X for your Firefly media server. You can completely forget your iTunes, you can completely close your iTunes and never use it again. The thing will never hunt your music files to see if it can store all that information in Apple's databases. You never need it, you can just use your Firefly media server. It's very nice software. The author is Ron Piddy. Like I said, it's available on different sorts of operating systems. You have a lot of quick start how-tos on the website for Debian, Fedora, Mandrake, Ubuntu, macOS X, NetBSD, and so on, and so on, and so on. Try it out for yourself. Head on over to fireflymediaserver.org to have a go with it. The stable version is at 0.2.4, and the development versions, which are very interesting, are on all different sorts of releases, so you really have to check out the website. The license is GNU General Public License. Now, how can you support it? I already mentioned that it has been adopted by a company. So if you want to improve the project and help the project, you can check out their hardware. No, I'm not sponsored by them in any way, so I don't even know if the hardware is any good. For that, Roku would have to send one to me. Roku, are you listening? Just joking. Pretty happy with my setup as it is right now. But if you like to support it, check out Roku Labs. Links are on sourcedrunk.com.
System tools.
Eraser. Now, as you probably have heard, I'm sitting outside again because it's really nice outside now, and the wind is coming up and it is doing nasty things on the microphone again. But hey, I didn't hear you complain last time. Some people even found it very, very nice to listen to, so I'm doing it again. I'm sitting outside. If you don't like it, please do send me a mail to complain about it, and I won't do it again. Otherwise, this won't be the last time. Okay, Eraser. It's a secure data removal tool for Windows. It completely removes sensitive data from your hard drive by overwriting it several times with carefully selected patterns. Now, if you're using a Windows box, then you probably know that you're not on the most secure operating system in the world. And your data might be important to you. And sometimes you just want to get rid of the data so that nobody can find the data anymore. Or you want to sell your computer and you want to be sure that all your information is gone. Or you don't like the fact that when your computer gets stolen, that even your deleted files can be retrieved. To give you a little anecdote about this, a friend of mine called me up and said, completely in panic, well, she wasn't completely in panic, she's never in panic, but she should be completely panicked, that all of her pictures were deleted from her hard drive. She didn't have a backup. 2 years of pictures of her children, of little festivities, of friends, family, stuff like that. She completely removed them, put them in a trash bin, and emptied the trash bin. So it wasn't really by accident. She thought she cleaned some stuff up, and she really did. She completely removed all her pictures. So the only thing she had to do, according to me, was just don't use the laptop anymore, bring it over to me, and I'll find some freeware application that will unremove that data. And yes, it did. I found some unerase utilities, and I got 98% of the pictures back in the state they were. Just to show you that even when you delete files from your hard drive, they are not really gone. Only the link to that file is gone, and it will only be gone when it's overwritten by data. Now, Eraser will do just that. When you remove a file or folder from your hard drive, it will overwrite the chunks different times with different patterns just to make sure that the data is really, really gone. When you install it, you will get two more contextual menus. When you right-click on an item, you can have Erase and Eraser Secure Move. The first one will give you an option of how to overwrite the data you are going to erase, and it gives you a lot of options, and it takes longer because it is really putting the hard drive on a spin, putting data on it. And if you move a file from one destination to another, there as well you have to make sure that the data is completely overwritten. You get the same options. To give you a few of the features, it can erase files and folders. It can erase all the hard drives using the Derek's boot and nuke method. I'll get back on that. It can erase the index point dat on reboot. It can erase encrypted files and drives. It can erase free space. It can erase the contents in the recycle bin. It can completely erase compressed files and drives, network files, floppy disks, CDRWs, DVD-RWs, DVD-RAMs, Windows temporary files, internet cookies, paging swap files, internet cache, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. Now, what is really interesting about this program is that you can create a sort of a Derek's boot and nuke disk. And what it'll do, from the erase menu, you can create a floppy or a CD and make it a sort of a nuke disk. So whenever you boot from that floppy or CD, you can completely erase your hard drive, but really completely erase it. You will see nothing of the data ever again. And that can be really handy for system administrators who want to dispose of all laptops, all computers, or just sell them and be sure that the data is really gone on the hard drives. So with one CD, you can really destroy your complete data. Okay. Negative aspects? Well, not really. I've been using it for a week now, had no complaints, everything is gone, I couldn't unerase it. The only negative aspect is the fact that, well, it's a Microsoft app, but that makes the open source Microsoft applications so very good. They try to get the best out of the operating system. And I would like to cite you one little piece out of the fact of Eraser. And that is in response to the question, overwriting is the key to ultimate security, isn't it? And the answer is wrong. When overwriting data, you are simply trying to fix a security leak that already has happened. The best way to deal with this is to prevent the data from getting written to the disk in the first place. Use strong encryption. E4M and PGP can get you started, but cannot help you with Windows-related security holes. If you must use Windows, use NT 2000. If you're serious about security, try Linux, or even OpenBSD. That says it all. The author of Eraser, well, I haven't found the author itself, but it belongs to the Heidi Computers company. The availability, everything Microsoft operating systems. Latest release is 5.82. Now, very important tips. Do not use Uneraser if you have a very flaky backup plan. Gone is gone with Eraser. Only use it if you really know what you're doing. You can get it from www.heidi.ie/eraser. You can find the links on sourcestrong.com. The license is GNU General Public License. You can support a project by going to the website, and you can donate this project or check out the other projects they are working on.
The little extra.
Wooby. Now this one is really nice. Description from the website. Wooby is an official Ubuntu installer for Windows users that will bring you into the Linux world with a few clicks. Wooby allows you to install and uninstall Ubuntu as any other application. If you heard about Linux and Ubuntu, if you wanted to try them but you were afraid, this is for you. Okay, now a listener pointed out this little extra, and it is beautiful. Have you ever tried to convince a Windows user to try out Linux? If you have, then you certainly will know that it sometimes is disastrous. People with all good intentions try to use the Linux partition on their computer, mess something up horribly, and are not able to boot back into their Windows machine. They call you, they have problems, they can't have their music, they can't work, stuff like that. It's a nightmare. Now, Wooby tries to help here. What it is, it's just a little application, 9 megabytes, something like that, a little executable, that you can download from the Wooby website. You double click it, you say, yes, I want to install Ubuntu, and the installer will start ask you for a name and password that will be used in the Ubuntu installation, and it will download the ISO, the latest Feisty Farm, and install it completely on the machine. Now that is not so special. Well, it is, because it is completely safe. It does not require you to modify or make any new partitions on the PC. it doesn't require you to use a different bootloader. You just run the installer. You don't even have to burn a CD. Wubi keeps most of the files just in one little folder. And the most spectacular thing of all is that if the user doesn't like it, he can just uninstall it. So that's the only thing to it. Just even mail him the little application and just go like, well, double click on the installation, say yes, give your password, and we'll install Ubuntu. And when you reboot, it will give you automatically a dual booted machine, one for Windows, one for Ubuntu, and there is no change in the partitions made. It's beautiful. In my case, I already had a triple boot machine. My machine boots into Debian or in Ubuntu for my girlfriend or in a Windows game box for my kids. And I installed Wubi. It started to download the Feisty Faun ISO. And after rebooting, I immediately imagined to my horror that this installation would completely mess up my Grub bootloader configuration. And it didn't. I still had my three options. I got my Debian, my Ubuntu, and my Windows. And when I choose my Windows, there came the bootloader, the Microsoft bootloader option, which gave me, again, Windows or Ubuntu. And I could log in to a Feisty Faun, completely functional installation. It had to install some stuff, but you don't have to do anything. Even the most modest Windows user that has never heard of Linux can try out Linux in this way. This is one step closer to help people get over that bridge, to help them try out the Linux desktop environment at their ease and have no problems afterwards. You can just double click the uninstall button and get it all off the system without any traces. The system is unharmed. Wubi is sensational. Negative aspects, I have found none so far. I have uninstalled the bugger and it didn't do any harm to the Windows machine, so that is beautiful. The offer, again, I didn't find really an offer of the software, but you can find everything about it on cutlersoftware.com. Links on sourcestrong.com. Availability, well, it's for Windows, of course. The latest release is 7.04. I think I used the test-free version. You can get it from cutlersoftware.com. License is GNU General Public License. And you can support it by just going to the site, to Cutlass Software, and check out their other software projects they are working on. Okay, let's wrap this up. I've got a little request to do to the listeners. Yes, that's you people. Please use the feeds, because I've got 10 times the downloads I've got comparing to the subscriptions, which is not bad because it's steadily growing and you people are apparently making good mouth-to-mouth propaganda for this show, because it's growing, it's going very well, and I'm really thankful for it. And if you would use the feeds instead of the normal downloads from the sites, that would give me more info about who you are, which operating systems you are using, which browsers you are using, and so on, and so on, and so on. Yes, yes, all the feed software you can use to browse on, to spy on your listeners. That's what I want. Now, I know that the open source community is not one of the best to provide us with very good podcatchers. And I would like you to, if you use a podcatcher on a Linux or a BSD machine, to tell me which one you use and I'll review it, because I've only used Amarok and Riffenbox to keep up with the podcast I personally listen to, and I'm sure there must be a lot of other good open source podcatchers out there, but I'm just too clumsy to find them, I guess. So let me know what podcatchers you're using yourself and mail it to sourcestrong@gmail.com or just post it on the website. Leave all your other comments or all your other open source applications that you have found and really would share with the lot of us. Leave it all on sourcestrong.com by posting to the website or mailing it to sourcedrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Fight the Sea by Josh Woodward. Thanks for your time and good hunting. In the memories of you left without a trace, paralyzed with the thoughts receding, current sweeps you with the silent bleeding through the heart into the darkest place. Turn around, there's nothing to see here. Run away, no reason to be here. It's the ghost who never goes away. Turn around and leave this behind now. You see the frown as it bleeds in the sky now. You fight the sea. You're always gonna drown. All the secrets that you're holding, all the memories you hide, all the frail thoughts that echo in the corners of your mind. They won't even last a moment. Soon be swept away when the ocean takes you in its arms and carries you away. You carry all your burdens on the cross around your neck. You take whatever's left that you could salvage from the wreck. Hard past will follow you like a lost dog on the beach, nipping at your trail till you've drifted out of reach. Yeah. Tried to hold it in your hands, you tried to understand it.